It's 8:15 on the ticket. It's Wednesday morning with the Musers. And it's time for part three of my story of participating in the Race Across America. I'm going to get us to the finish line today. This is something that I did last week when I was out. This race has been around for about 35 years. You ride from the Pacific to the Atlantic. It started as a solo race, and then they added two-man, four-man, and eight-man relay teams. That's what I was on, an eight-man relay team put together by my buddy Grant. We were called the Nature Boys with a Z. And it was a team comprised of seven of his friends from all over the country. So we started in Oceanside, California, a week ago Saturday at noon. And it's you against everything out there in the United States. You're battling Mother Nature and traffic and road conditions, and you've got a book of directions, and it's up to each team, which is equipped with a tracking device so the race can keep track of where you are, and there are race officials all along the course driving up and down, policing it. It's up to you to get yourself from Oceanside, California to Annapolis, Maryland. First one there wins. It's like an old cannonball run type thing.
Yeah.
When last we left you yesterday, I told you that we had just pulled into Jefferson City, Missouri. And at this point, we've done about two-thirds of the route. We've got about 2,000 miles behind us. We have 1,000 miles to go. And at this point, we're about 5 days in, and we're all really, really tired. I told you that we had split the eight-man team into two four-man teams. So each four-man team would be out there riding for 12 to 15 hours while the other team drove way down the road in the RV, tried to get a little sleep, get a shower, whatever, and then meet the four-man team on the road for a transition. And by now, whenever you got to a transition point and you meet the other four-man team, you would look at each other and you would realize how shattered everybody looked. You know, lines in their faces, real exaggerated, giant bags under their eyes. Everybody looks like they haven't slept, losing weight. Everybody just looks wiped out, like they're at their wits' end.
We wondered if you had failed smile about halfway through.
I think we all did, yeah. And I mentioned in Jefferson City, Missouri, I finally got to do laundry. I've never been happier in my life to do laundry. In fact, that whole day riding into Jefferson City, that's all I thought about. 100% of my thoughts were about doing laundry. Because for a couple of days now, I'd been putting on the same stinky, damp bike clothing.
Swamp clothes.
And we all took about five or six different changes of bike clothing, but you run through it so fast because after every one of your rides, which each, you know, in a relay, you're riding for about 45 minutes and then you're off for 2.5 hours. Well, you don't want to sit in the van in soaking, stinky clothing, so you take it off and you towel off and then you got to put it back on. Well, it got to where it smelled so badly, that's all I could think about. We get to the hotel, they don't have laundry facilities. So I forego sleep because we have about 5 hours at this hotel. And I said, I'm going to give up 2 hours of sleep because I have to get laundry done. So I took an Uber to a nearby laundromat. Have you guys been to a laundromat lately?
Been a while.
Not lately.
Been a long time for me. And I, at the front desk of the hotel, I got a ton of quarters because I thought that's what you still needed. Not anymore. No laundromat takes quarters. They all take cards. Mm-hmm. I did laundry, and I've never been happier in my life to walk out of there with a giant bag of clean cycling clothing. It was so great. It cost me a couple hours of sleep, though.
But you're rejuvenated now. You got clean clothing.
Yes, yeah, so happy to put on clean clothing. Well, now when we start our next leg, our foursome, when we're going to ride again, this is roughly Thursday evening, a tropical storm is headed our way, Tropical Storm Cindy. So we are bracing to ride through the night in a tropical storm. Luckily for us, it didn't really hit us until the early hours of that morning, so we had a pretty nice ride through the night. The problem was, I was now experiencing extreme sleep deprivation for the first time in my life. Yeah, I pulled an all-nighter in college or stayed up all night for whatever reason when I was younger. That's not sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation is when you go 4, 5, 6, 7 days in and you're getting 1 or 2 hours of sleep every night, which is what we were getting. By this Thursday night shift, I was losing my mind. So I started to relieve the driver occasionally. And when I was driving behind one of our riders, because at night you have to keep a van behind the rider with the hazard lights on for protection from traffic coming up from behind, I knew we were going east. But in my mind, I kept thinking, wow, he's turned around headed towards California. I have to do something about this.
Oh, no.
And then I would talk myself out of it. No, no, you know that the race is going east to west. He's not going west. But for 30 minutes, I was battling myself in my mind with an argument that, no, he's going west. Look, you can look at him and see that he's headed west. My inner compass was all messed up. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a hard time staying awake when you were driving?
Yeah. All of us did.
Yeah.
At this point. That's why we were trying to take turns and keep each other awake. But it was an interesting...
Were you screaming or slapping your face or doing
no.
any of that stuff?
Singing opera, that always keeps me awake.
No, mm-hmm. none of that. But it got to a point now here, night five or six, whatever it was, we had all lost track of days and time, where I knew I was suffering from it, but I could also see the signs in everybody else. For example, we were waiting for another rider to come in to make an exchange, and we saw him take a wrong turn. So I get on the phone, and I call that van, and I say, hey, he took a wrong turn. We're back here on 3rd Street. And the guy on the phone I'm talking to, one of my teammates, goes, oh, okay. And I said, just tell him to do a U-turn, come back down to the Taco Bueno and make a left. So the guy leans out the window, and I can hear him screaming, ride to the Taco Bueno. They're at the Taco Bueno. Turn around. Go to the Taco Bueno. And I'm screaming, no, no, we're not at the Taco Bueno. Go to the Taco Bueno and take a left. And I noticed little bits like this where none of us could process directions, mileage, numbers. How many miles left? 3 miles left. No, how many miles till we get there? Yeah, I just said 3 miles until we get there. No, not from the start. No, no, I'm not talking about from the start. You know, we were all having these kind of conversations, and by now tempers are flaring up, and you'll
all this sounds like a marriage to me.
Yeah, you'll have moments now where the driver will say, "How much further to the transition point?" And I'd say,
"It's farther, not further."
I'd say seven miles. And he would say, "To the transition point?" And I would say, "Yes." Well, that's not what I asked.
Huh.
How many have we gone? And I realized, well, that's not what you asked.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was like that.
Everybody was frayed.
Yeah, these little 5-second explosions. And as my buddy Grant said, when you get a bunch of type A personalities in close quarters with no food and no sleep for a week, you're going to have a lot of explosions. And when we did. And, you know, everybody did a really good job of then bringing it back and just continuing the march forward. Mm-hmm. We just kind of realized that that's what was going to happen. Well, now on this night, this Thursday night, riding through Indiana, which, by the way, we went right into and through Bloomington by the University of Indiana, and that, of course, is the setting for Breaking Away, my favorite movie.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So it was cool to ride those roads in and around Bloomington. But now I've got to get on the bike, and I realize my mind is starting to go because I haven't had sleep. Where I'm riding along in the dark, and we had a system where if it was a left turn, the van would honk once behind you, and if it was a right turn, they would honk twice. Well, behind me, I hear one beep. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to turn left. Well, in the blink of an eye, the van pulls up alongside me and says, you missed your turn. And I said, I did? They said, yeah, it was back there. And I said, God, I swear I was looking for it. So I turned around, and sure enough, I rode back, and I had missed my turn. Well, now I'm freaked out because I don't remember missing the turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm riding on this country road, and it's really rolling, and every time I'm going downhill, my vision is completely blurred. I can't see.
Oh, my.
And I know it's sleep deprivation, and so I start quizzing myself. What's your full name? What's your birthday? Where
oh
were
my
you
Lord.
Born? Just to try to make sure I had my mental faculties. And I got to the end of that ride, and I was scared to death because I didn't know what kind of hole I was going into. And so the next 2 hours in the van between that ride and my next ride, all I did was eat and try to take quick naps and try to drink a lot and try to heal my brain or rest my brain. And I had two more rides that night, and those next two, thankfully, I felt okay. But no. It is
the van didn't pull up beside you and say, hey, you're on your bike backwards.
No. But it is a really scary thing to deal with legitimate sleep deprivation. And the study was great to watch everybody else deal with it and how your mind is operating at about 50%. You just can't do simple things. You can't put a sentence together.
So you see how that sleep deprivation works on like prisoners and stuff like that? You know,
yes.
How we do the tactics down there at Gitmo?
Yes.
So you think that can break a person down?
There's no doubt, because we were all broken down.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Well, we get to the next transition point, which was Oxford, Ohio, the home of Miami, the home of Big Ben Roethlisberger. And we hand off to the other guys. So now they have to ride through the day through Tropical Storm Cindy. We get a little bit of sleep down the road, and we meet them in West Virginia, Parkersburg, West Virginia, for our final leg. It's our final night of riding. We have about 200 miles ahead of us through the West Virginia mountains, the Appalachians, in pitch dark, in Tropical Storm Cindy. And I can't tell you how defeating it is to be in the van driving to the rendezvous point, knowing that you are about to ride all night in a downpour. It's just so defeating.
Gosh, I bet.
But you know you have to do it, and you're trying to suck it up. And you also know that I think that night we had about 20,000 feet of climbing ahead of us, so it's going to be hard mileage.
Oh, Lord. By the way, it's an 8-man team that mm-hmm. you're on. Are there any spare people in that team? Like, if one of you quits,
no.
Then the whole team is out of the race, right?
No, you can finish with one person, I think, if you need to.
Oh, okay.
So you could lose a rider and continue with seven.
Right. Did anybody threaten to quit, or did you think you might lose any of them?
I was afraid that night when I had the sleep deprivation. And
you were the weakest link?
Yeah, I was afraid of that I was going to have to quit. And you would hate to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so before our final ride, we're in the hotel and we have about 5 hours to get some sleep. And my body is so out of sorts that I'm tossing and turning. And I look at the clock now and I've got 2.5 hours to get sleep and I haven't gotten any. So you know what I did? This is how desperate I was. Mm. I had brought a Lunesta sleeping pill with me. I got out of bed and took that sleeping pill just to get 2 hours of sleep.
Wow. Dude, you're going to be groggy at the end of that.
But that's how desperate I was. I knew I had a really hard night ahead of me, and I knew I had to get some sleep because I was sleep deprived the night before.
Oh, my.
So I took a pill to get 2 hours of sleep. We start the ride through West Virginia, and it was the most surreal, creepiest night of my life. They call West Virginia the Black State because there is no light at night, because all of the cities are deep in the valley. Nothing is built on a hillside or a mountaintop. Everything's way down deep. So we were riding in the fog and heavy rain of a tropical storm through a state that is pitch black on these roads that were okay, but the shoulders were full of rocks, so we were having to ride in the lane of traffic. And big semis would come by every 15 minutes splashing water on us.
Yeah. Hauling meth.
There were road closures, so we were confused. We had 4 flats that night, so we were always having to stop and trade out a rider. It took us forever. Our foursome had done really well the previous 6 days, but this night we met our maker. We really struggled this night because we were all wiped out, exhausted. We were having mechanical issues. We were battling Tropical Storm Cindy. We got on some side highways through West Virginia, and it's just so dark and creepy. And at one point, this giant possum runs out right in front of me.
Yeah, Junior, you are not destined to win.
I hit my brakes. I miss him by about 3 feet as he stares at me and
then runs
off.
Would that have flipped you if you had hit him square?
Oh, yeah. It would have taken me down for sure because the roads were soaking wet.
Oh, man.
And after, I think that leg that night was actually about 250 miles. We were in large pockets of no cell coverage, so we couldn't communicate with the other vans. We got lost a lot. We were just all at our absolute limit. We all had brain fog. And none of us ate that night because it was such an intense night. You were always watching the road or trying to figure out where to turn, or dealing with the weather, or dealing with the other van, or changing a flat, or, you know, all the other stuff that you have to do in every leg. Charge your headlights, make sure your water bottles are full, make sure you're... None of us ate that whole night. Well, we finally, day broke, and we're into Maryland. I never knew how mountainous Maryland was. I had no idea, but that western part of Maryland is still deep in the Appalachians, and we had maybe the steepest climbs of the whole trip in Maryland. About 10 o'clock that morning, we finally finish our leg, and we hand off to the next guys, and they have the responsibility now of riding the next 200 miles to the finish line in Annapolis. So our team is done. We don't have to ride anymore except for the final ceremonial 7 miles in Indianapolis. The problem is we now, since the other guys are on the road, we have to drive the RV from Cumberland, Maryland to Annapolis, 3 hours. But the six of us, the four riders and two drivers, are in no condition to drive.
Ugh.
So my buddy Grant gets in the RV driver's seat first, and he's going to drive. But he just told me he had fallen asleep on his bike.
Oh my! I wondered about that. If you guys ever had that,
yeah,
moment.
Two of our guys fell asleep on the bike. And
this race against America, across America, not against America. They're gonna. How have they not had an accident associated with that race?
They've had several.
Really?
Yeah, they've had one or two deaths, I believe, and a lot of crashes. Well, I knew that Grant had just fallen asleep on his bike, so I got a seat in the RV where I could watch him. And immediately he's nodding off at the wheel. And you know how you struggle to stay awake and you start scratching?
The head bob.
Yeah. So after about 20 minutes, I said, "Are you okay?" I said, "Do you want me to drive?" Because at this point I had woken up a little bit. So he goes, "No, I'm not okay. You need to drive." So I jumped behind the wheel. I drove us about 30 minutes, meanwhile, or maybe an hour. Meanwhile, another guy had been sleeping in the RV, so he was okay. He relieved me. We got to Annapolis. We were able to check into the hotel, shower, eat. We were all starving. And then a few hours later, we start getting reports of the other four, and they're getting closer and closer to Annapolis. 7 miles from the finish is the official time finish line.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get your official time. So around 11 o'clock that night, the four of us are at that line waiting for the other four, and they finally come in around 11 o'clock. And we officially finish in 7 days, 7 hours, and 35 minutes. That was our official finishing time. That's how long it took us as a relay team to race across America.
Wow.
And at that point, all eight of us got on our bikes, and we were escorted by a race official from that official finish line to the ceremonial finish line, which was 7 miles down the road on the harbor in Annapolis. And that was great. We were all in such a good mood because we were done, and we were talking to each other, and you know, telling stories, and the race official escorts us in through Annapolis, which is a beautiful town. We get down to the finish line. You go across. They take pictures of you. They bring you up on stage. There's a guy that interviews each one of you about the journey. And we open a bottle of champagne. Great celebration, but then we all realize we're too tired to celebrate. We're just flat exhausted.
Y'all didn't want to go to a dance party or anything like that?
No, and we thought we were going to get in a day earlier. We thought it'd take us about 6.5 days. And so the idea was to celebrate all day Saturday, and then we all had our flights home on Sunday. Well, now it's Sunday morning about 1 a.m., and we still need to pack, take apart our bikes. So we went back to the hotel parking lot. We ordered a pizza. We sat around telling stories and putting our bikes together. I got to bed about 2, woke up at 5 to catch my flight, which was miserable. I needed more sleep than that. Flew home, and the whole time, and I think even up until now, I haven't quite grasped what we did. You know, it's still such a blur to me, the days and the times and the cities we went through. I think at some point it's going to sink in just what a great adventure it was.
Mm-hmm.
It had to have been an amazing sense of accomplishment when you were done.
It really was.
Greatest thing you've ever done.
I'm so impressed by this. Yeah. I'll be walking around during the day and think about it and go, "God, that's insane that you actually did that. I cannot believe you accomplished that."
I don't think any of us could believe it either. And there were just, you know, I spent the last 3 8-15 segments telling you guys about it. I could do a month on this. So many stories. Shout out to the couple of P1s that came out along the route. There was one that said that, "Gordo, you sent him. I met him in Trinidad, Colorado at a grocery store parking lot."
Uh-huh.
And I'm walking in and he goes, "Hey, Junior. Gordo told me to find you." So I stopped and talked to him for a while and took a picture with him.
Right.
And then at the finish line in Annapolis, a P1 came out there. He's never lived in Dallas. He's just become a P1 from up there because he's a Cowboy fan, so he listens to the ticket every day. So I talked to him for about 20 minutes out there at the finish line.
How wild is that?
So you saw little people like, you know, you have little stories of seeing P1s like that, or the race fans who were tracking you, like I told you about the old lady who came out and met us at the gas station, or just locals who had no idea what we were doing. We would laugh because so many times we'd see a local drive by us and we'd think, they must be thinking, what the blank are they doing out here at 2 a.m.? With
riding
a van
bikes and
riding
costumes.
A bike. Yeah. What is going on here? And then the other people that really got into it along the route, there was one time we're driving through Missouri, and I had the window down. We were following one of the riders on our team, and there was a man and woman on a porch, and they were blasted. And when we came by, they just went nuts. They just started screaming, come on, go. You know, they must have been drinking all day long waiting for riders to come by, but riders only come by every hour or two. So when one does come by, they just go crazy. Tons of stories. We're really happy that we all made it to the finish safely. That was the number one priority. We didn't want anybody to crash or go down.
So
and get
no
hurt.
One crashed throughout
Nobody
the whole.
Nobody crashed.
Wow, that seems crazy to me. That all those hours on a bike and no one went down for any reason.
Especially considering a tropical storm.
Mm-hmm.
So we rode through an extreme heat wave. We had a tornado and a hailstorm, and we had a tropical storm. So we had about everything you could go through with Mother Nature. We rode over the Rockies and Appalachians. We went through the California desert. We went through the expansive Midwest. We made it to the Atlantic coast. It was an incredible journey. So,
would you do it again?
Sigh.
Not next year. There has been talk about a four-man relay team that maybe we
would. Oh, Lord.
Only because the logistics would be simpler.
Actually easier.
Yeah. But as of right now, I would say I probably would not do it again. The conditions would have to be right, and we learned an awful lot from doing it this one time. None of us will do it next year. We absolutely know we're not going to do it next year, but maybe down the road.
So how did you guys place?
We were 11th out of the 15 teams.
Okay.
But we were a rookie team. You know, most of the teams ahead of us have done this before. You learn a lot, and we determined we were only about 5 hours, I think, out of seventh place.
And you had those penalties.
And we had 3 or 4 hours worth of penalties, and we lost hours in transitions and wrong turns and things like that. So if we could have tightened all that up and not had an extreme amount of penalties, we would have finished, I think, fifth, sixth, seventh, something like that. The difference is we had a lot of really good riders. But the difference in this race, every team has good riders. It's how you handle your logistics.
Right.
It's how smooth of an operation you have. That's the difference between finishing in the top five and the bottom five.
Right. Because the difference between speed of riders is not near what the difference is in if you have your logistics down. You can make up an hour like that.
Yeah. When we were handing off to one team, it might take us 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But other teams, when they're handing off, it takes them 45 seconds.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where we lost all our time. Mm-hmm. Great experience.
That's unbelievable.
And again, I posted a few pictures on my Instagram account, at Junes Miller. I tried to post one or two every day. And I've got topics that are going to last us, you know, for the next month. Tomorrow, I'd like to talk about Middle America. We won't be talking about the race specifically, but observations on Middle America tomorrow and some other fascinating topics that you don't think about. As I'm riding along, I'm thinking, wow, that would be a great topic for the show. That would be a great topic for the show. But, of course, because of my brain fog, I forgot half of them.
So my final question to you is, why didn't you take Monday off? When you were pushed that far with your flight, why didn't you just say, I just need to sleep here where I am and push my flight back a day?
Well, originally I thought I would finish on Friday, so I thought I'd have 2 days to recover.
Right, but when you didn't, why didn't you that day say, I'm just going to...
Because he's doing the show for the P1s.
Obviously.
I should have, and yeah, you know, that is the answer. I felt like everyone, maybe this is a big ego or something, but I felt like everyone was wanting to hear about the journey on Monday because I'd promised everybody I'd be back. So I felt like I needed to come in on Monday.
But what you didn't know is that Giorgio and I had really hit stride. Like the show had finally become what it needed to be all along.
I don't doubt that.
I would have called in sick too had you done it for Monday. I couldn't do it again.
So there you have it, the 3-chapter story of my race across America.
Thank
you.
Best friends.
Today's